When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
It's been an interesting year for Christmas tree sales. Apparently, it's been very slow.
Well, they're bad for the environment.
Well, that is true. But people are saying that they are turning away from buying the real thing because there's been a spike in price. So they're turning to the fake stuff. This has led to discounts for late buyers. It's so interesting. Yesterday, I was leaving my hair appointment and I couldn't believe how many people were at a Christmas tree shop. And I was on the phone with my mom. I said, there are people buying Christmas trees right now. She said, yeah, because this is when they go on sale. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just 4 days. Are we 4 days out from Christmas? Five?
Is it true that Greg celebrates Thanksgiving on Friday so he gets cheaper turkey?
Probably. but we can hear from Joanne Roden, the manager of Brooksby Farms in Peabody on BZ.
We're a little nervous going into this season with Thanksgiving being so much later. Gave us one less week of selling time. If they haven't gotten their tree yet, come on up here. We do have plenty of trees available.
All right. So I like a real tree, but unfortunately, the building I live in, they don't let you have them.
Really?
Yeah, I guess like some fire hazard or whatever. Yep. So you can't, some of the buildings in the city, or if you live in the city, maybe that's something that they do. But yeah, I always love going to get a real Christmas tree.
Christmas is January 1st, right?
Oh, well, so if you need a tree, get it for half price.
Yes. And I hope Greg is listening this morning as a warning because a woman, Georgiana Orsino, was attacked by a coyote in the middle of the day in Weymouth yesterday.
Oh.
Here's what she had to say on WCVB.
I mean, for it being so small and just how much it latched onto my leg, I know it could have just latched right onto my son and just dragged him wherever it wanted to go. So I'm just glad that I was in between them.
Yeah, so she was able to get away. She and her 2-year-old son were out and about when this happened. So lucky for her.
Jeez. Careful out there with them coyotes.
Yeah. And a new real estate platform that will initially be available in South Florida and New York City will show neighborhoods political leanings to prospective home buyers.
Oh my God.
The tool is being launched by a tech startup, OIC, and comes a week after a survey was done by Realtor.com that shows a quarter of Americans are highly influenced by local or national politics on where they end up buying.
So there was a story in the New Yorker, I want to say, that went viral a couple months ago about a old liberal Manhattan writer who moved upstate in New York to a community that was predominantly conservative. And it was all about how, like, the people came and helped her shovel out her car, the people helped them, you know, find a cat that went missing, whatever. And it was like the shocked woman at the age of whatever she is, realizing that you don't know everything about someone based on where they place their vote,
right,
or who they vote for, which was always the case. But it was like she was first becoming aware of this. Like, I love that I grew up here. I love that I'm surrounded by people who have a different ideology than I was raised with. It's fascinating. I love talking to people I disagree with. It's how you, the only way you get dumber is if you stop having people tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
I like this, though. I actually like that because that's the number one thing when, you know, my wife is a real estate agent. You know, you want to know about the schools, the community,
yeah, of course,
the crime. I wouldn't mind knowing, like, you want to know what the demographic is of the area, right? You know, is it an older neighborhood?
Is there good people who are safe? Who cares about who you vote for?
Curtis, that you got to live in reality, right? So is the neighborhood predominantly this? Is it predominantly black? Is it predominantly white? Is it a mix? You know, these are all things that people, when buying a home, want to know it because they want to send their kids to school. They want to have an understanding. If you know, if you know the neighborhood is a little bit more, you know, conservative or liberal, you got to live in this community.
Yeah, I know, but I lived in a community and I couldn't tell you what my neighbor on the left voted or the, my neighbor on the right voted or what the people in the house voted for.
Right.
Like,
right.
I think
I've been in an apartment building for 15 years in South Boston. I don't know how everybody in my building votes.
But if you look in communities like this, like more, it's different. I get maybe, you know, an apartment building is.
I'm not even talking about an apartment building, though. Like, growing up in Lowell, I have no idea.
But nowadays, forget it. And you when we were living in the burbs, everybody on their lawn has a sign of basically which way they're leaning or potentially.
Which is great. If you want to advocate on for who you're voting for, that's amazing. But,
right,
like,
but isn't that
it doesn't make you a bad or good person because you voted a certain way.
No, but I'm not saying it makes you a bad or a good person. But it just, it will let a person know who might be looking to buy in that neighborhood what they potentially could be dealing with.
I think this just separates us more. I think it's a terrible idea. We are so divided in this country, and if you add something like this, so you're just going to put yourself in a neighborhood next to people that vote the same way that you do, well, guess what? You're still going to have issues with your neighbors.
Right, yeah. But you're kind of living in a fantasy land.
I'm living in the way that it used to be.
But in the reality of the world that we live in, people, they want to know where they're living, and especially when you're buying a home. Like, this is, I get it. I would let, you know, we all want to be kumbaya, but that's not the reality of the world we live in. So if I'm somebody or you're somebody and you're like, all right, I'm going to be here. This is my forever home. Don't I know I want to be in a neighborhood where maybe some issues might not arise because of the people who kind of live in that neighborhood? I don't know why people get upset about that.
I'm not upset about it. I just think it's a very sad sign of the times, and that we have, like, I also laugh because the generation that's causing this is the generation that refers to me or Courtney as a snowflake. Like, mm-hmm. The biggest snowflake are the people that are 70 right now, that were the son of the boomers, that are terrified of people that disagree with them, that have become MSNBC'd or Fox News'd into believing that there is evil in the side that they vote against, as opposed to, where do we understand each other? Where do we agree? Where do we disagree? Having a neighbor, all I would care about, are they safe?
Yep.
Are they law-abiding?
Yep.
And are they kind? Like, what else? Who they voted? I know a lot of people that vote for Trump that are total DBs. I know a lot of people that vote for Biden that I would never want as a neighbor.
And you keep saying, like, this day and age, and I get it. I get that some families don't get along when it comes to it. I'll tell you, like, my family is split. So we all, you know, holidays,
right,
there's no issue. I respect everybody's opinion. They respect mine. It's truly, like, I think that there's a way. You loved somebody before Trump ever came into the situation or Biden ever came into the situation. You should love them through it and the opposites.
But you come from a family that's able to do that.
I know. I just,
and there are a lot of families, unfortunately, that are able to do that. So you have to look at it from a world of, like, okay, I get where you're coming from there. That's the way it should be. But there are a lot of families who can't do that,
yeah,
who can't separate.
I just think it's sad. I think it's sad that this is where we, and Curtis is so right, like the snowflake comment. If you're calling someone a snowflake and thinking that's, like, hurting them, it's kind of hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
People think I'm a snowflake because I've got anxiety. I'm a millennial who grew up with 9/11 when they were in fourth grade. And ever since then, it's been bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. Sorry I read the news, and sorry I go down doom scrolls, but, like, that's where my life is. I think a snowflake is more what Curtis said. It's somebody who's judging everybody else or hates everybody else about disagreeing with them.
They voted for Scott Brown. Quick, hide the dog.
Yeah, like, it's
anyway
crazy.
Let's go to Levi, who wants to talk to Wiggy about this. Good morning, Levi. How are you?
Good, guys. Good morning. Good morning. And hey, you know, it's funny this comes up. Wiggy, you know, your point originally was, you know, I kind of like it, I think, not to mm-hmm. misquote. And you know, the precedent, I like, too. Wouldn't it be nice to have a community where you don't have to worry about, you know, a crazy, you know, someone crazy down this side of the spectrum, crazy on that side of the spectrum, you know, to kind of avoid that. But the issue, I think, is, and maybe what everyone else is talking about, is the precedent that it sets. If you're making a decision where you're going to live and raise a family solely based on you know, that factor, that it's so important that you don't want to expose them to anything on the opposite side of the ideal. I don't know. I feel like it's going to end up being anyone in that neighborhood where they can see that information. It's going to be all those crazies, whether they're crazy right, crazy left. You know what I mean? It's, it may be nice on the surface, but I don't know. Maybe that doesn't even make sense, my take there.
Well, no, Levi, I get your take, but all I'm saying, it at least gives a person who might be looking at an area to live to kind of have an understanding where, hey, maybe this is what this neighborhood leans politically. And now I can make a decision to say, do I want to move here? And potentially, not that everybody's a bad person, but potentially might have to deal with some stuff because I lean in a different direction. Or do I want to find another neighborhood that might be a little bit more to the way I think? That's all I'm saying this does for people.
You're saying it's a part of the information gathering process.
That's it. And so I don't know why, I understand it, and I live my life happy every day, but I also live my life in reality. The reality is, I get we all want to be kumbaya, but that's just not the world that we live in. You know what I mean?
Well, people want to weigh in on this. Brian, what's on your mind?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Courtney, thank you for everything you bring to the show. I just wanted to point out that, you know, it may not be just the specific neighborhood that you're looking for, that you may have a child with disabilities, or if you have a daughter and you want to live in a more liberal state to support your daughter's bodily autonomy, you know, those are the things that you might want to use that information information gathering, right? Wiggy, you're the best. I love you. I don't always agree with you, but I, as part of this one, it totally agreed. It's just part of the story that helps influence your decision on where you select to grow roots, which, I don't know, I just think that's a pretty important consideration to have at the table. You don't have to use it. It's just another tool in your box.
I guess, Brian, you sound like an intelligent guy, and I you make some good points. Do you have good friends in your life that have the opposite political beliefs as you do?
Yes.
So then why couldn't you have a neighbor that's just like that?
Oh, I certainly can. It won't influence my specific house if it was in the neighborhood. If my neighbor to the left or to the right was, happened to be a different political leaning than me, but the general, if I have a daughter that is, and I'm thinking about relocating, I would want to maybe live in a community that is more, in general, more liberal.
Yeah, I mean, the communities won't dictate. If you're talking about states and abortion rights, that's not going to be community driven. That makes more. If you're talking about that, I understand living in a state if that's right. Aligns more with your politics.
But I think it's just maybe the way the people might believe. And I understand that. Like, listen, I grew up as a black kid in an Italian neighborhood, right? And so that's because my mother really didn't have a choice to say, okay, do I want my son to live in an area where maybe there's more kids that look like him and his upbringing might be a little bit easier? We didn't have that capability. So there are things that, yes, and then the area I grew up in, I wouldn't change it for anything. If I could do it over again, I would do the same thing. But you're always going to have to deal with things. And if you know what the same way people look and go, how the demographics are. Like, hey, listen, when I was moving out to the burbs, I was like, you know, how many black people live around here? What's the demographics as far as the schools? Because you're going to deal with things when you look different or you believe in different things. And so you want to be able to try to be able to navigate life the best way you can with as little as problems that you can kind of control. And so I think, especially now politically, you know, this is, think about how many people on Facebook have lost friends because they put something on Facebook because of what they believe
right
now.
I agree that I'm not debating.
So imagine living next door to that person and having to deal with them.
I just ask somebody how their day is, not who they voted for.
Curtis, I get that.
I know. We're not going to see eye to eye on this. Right. We have dumbest. We have to do that.
Yeah, but there's one more before dumbest.
Okay, go ahead.
Nestle is launching a protein shot that has a natural appetite suppressant that mimics the drug like Ozempic.
Whoa.
The shake is called Boost Premeal Hunger Support, and it's to be consumed 30 minutes before a meal. The rollout started last month with packs of four being sold for $10.99. Apparently, they Walmart had it on their shelves, and they released some great studies that came along with it. Flew off the shelves. So this
is from who? Nestle?
Nestle.
Oh, wow. So it's probably got like a little chocolate
maybe,
strawberry.
Yeah. But 30 minutes before, and it's supposed to mimic like a GLP-1.
So
like
an appetite suppressant,
yep,
right?
Exactly.
I think that's a good idea. Cool.
I love it. Nestle, by the way, Nespresso, they have a lot of money outside of the chocolate universe.
Yeah. Nespressos are hot.
Those are. Those pods.
Yes.
All right, Jackson, let's get to this.
It's time for...
Oh, man, I feel like I'm dealing with an idiot when Curtis talks.
The dumbest of the day.
Isn't there a guy they call Numbnuts on the show?
All right, well, we have been called the San Francisco of the East Coast here in Boston.
Is that a good thing?
Depends who your neighbor is. Virgie Tover. Who is she, you might ask? Well, she is a self-described anti-weight-based discrimination expert.
All right.
San Francisco's Department of Public Health has hired her to be a consultant on a weight stigma and weight neutrality campaign.
Hmm.
She says that she is a prominent advocate for, quote, fat positivity. This is what Virgie sounds like.
A cake-related fatphobic incident, or CRFI, is that moment when it's time to eat delicious cake and it's interrupted by a moralizing impulse. Inevitably, there's always someone at the party who has to declare publicly that their slice is too large.
So I still don't think this is real, but I guess it is. I have no idea. This is the latest sign that we live in the truly dumbest time in human history.
So she's saying people shouldn't say, ooh, that cake's too big for me?
Right. Don't size shame someone's piece of cake, just like you don't size shame their booty.
Okay.
It is not for nothing, like the leading cause of death are related to our morbid obesity.
Exactly.
We should not be encouraging that.
No.
I'm not saying that everybody can prevent it. I'm not judging anybody that is, but we shouldn't be encouraging people to be obese because that's how you die.
And you shouldn't be like, embrace your body, embrace the fat. No, because you're right. It is a like I was a guy that was overweight, still am, and all it does is create high blood pressure, some cases diabetes. Like you want to still enjoy things, but we should not be celebrating obesity. Just be like, listen, I need to get in shape. I got to lose the weight because I want to try to live as long as I can. And I think people who go, they say, I'm trying to embrace it. Deep down inside, they don't want to be that way. And it hurts them, but they don't want to come out publicly and say it. Remember Lizzo used to say it all the time?
Yeah.
And now look at Lizzo. She's down like 100 pounds because she knows it's better for her health when you weigh less.
Amen. All right, Courtney, A+.
Thank you.
We're going to get to Courtney with what's trending now. And I have a huge question for everybody to answer in the next segment, which is simple. Jermaine Wiggins and the Patriots were a 2-touchdown underdog in Super Bowl 36 before slaying the greatest show on turf en route to their first Super Bowl win. What would be a more shocking win, that game or the Patriots winning Sunday at Orchard Park? Don't answer now. You have time to marinate on that.
Okay.
And we'll get to that question next, but right now here's Courtney with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. We talked a lot about Jerod Mayo yesterday and his job security. It's been on the mind of most Patriots fans all week long. He was asked by the media yesterday about a report that he was assured job security for next season. Here's what he had to say.
Oh, yeah, I think it's, his first year coaching, being a head coach.
I'm sorry, I hit the wrong button.
Tough challenge,
That was Drake May, but...
Yes, that was Drake May. I'm sorry. Do you want the Mayo cut now?
Yes.
My bad.
I'm not sure where that story came from. Look, I have multiple conversations on a daily basis with ownership, and they've always been supportive.
You've also talked about getting better in year two. Has that been assured to you that you have it?
No, again, for me this week, like my focus is on this game, the Bills here today. Like things that happen at the end of the season, like I can't control those things, so it's all about the Bills.
The Celtics are back in action tonight. They have the Bulls at the TD Garden. Sam Hauser, Kristaps Porzingis, and Xavier Tillman are all listed as questionable. Tip is at 7:30. And the Bruins wrap up on their West Coast trip tonight in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. Puck drop at 9. What time do we have Mike Mulberry this morning?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Thursday Night Football, we'll see the Broncos at the Chargers. 8:15 start. You can listen to that right here on WEEI. And an update as the Chiefs get ready to play on Saturday against the Texans. Patrick Mahomes was a full participant in practice yesterday. And get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event. And Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 37 degrees in Boston. Afternoon high of 43. Jackson, I put in a request.
Absolutely.
Rest of the way, Christmas music.
Sure, absolutely.
I got about 4 segments left.
Yeah, you got it. Do you know this band? I think it's one of your favorites.
This is the Stone Temple Pilots.
Nope.
Nope, it is the Crash Test Dummies.
Nope, just go to your go-to.
My go-to? Rage Against the Machine.
This went better in rehearsal. 5-Finger Death Punch.
I could have been here all day.
All right. Well, that's the band that you always see when you don't know who it is.
That's probably a me problem. Jackson's in. Scheim has the bubonic plague. I don't know when he'll be back.
He didn't even respond to my text yesterday. I'm very worried about him.
Yeah, I'm not going to share my true beliefs.
We'll probably see him Monday. He's probably
you just shared your true beliefs by saying that.
Well, if he sees me, I'm going to give him a 5-finger death punch.
Yeah, we'll see him Monday. The long weekend.
Monday, what are you guys? So is it just you two at Gillette?
And Razor.
Razor's in. Our boy Razor.
Oh, man.
Razor having to make that trip to Gillette. That's
Razor
for him.
Gets put in the most awkward circumstances. You
always.
Missed it. We did our best moments of the year, and I think I kind of mailed it in. I'm sorry. It was my idea, and I sucked. But the worst moment of the year, for fault of no one's, was the morning that we did that show.
Oh.
Razor comes in. Was that the day this guy called in, I almost said the S word, crapping all over Razor about how he played in a game?
And it was also the day that there was that massive outage.
Right.
And so it was just a disaster of a day.
We had no internet. It was the strange. And Razor's just this happy Canadian trying to get to 10 a.m.
I love Razor.
He is the best.
Guy.
So Monday morning, you'll hear Gerard Mayo with Courtney, Wiggy, and Razor from Gillette Stadium. And this Sunday at 4:25, Patriots Bills. And I saw the line, and I mentioned it briefly after the show yesterday to Jones and Keefe as we were exiting. And I really think it would be more shocking if the Patriots won Sunday than the victory, the greatest upset at the time, over the Rams in Super Bowl 36. Because there was a path in Super Bowl 36. You had the superb special teams. You had amazing defense with Hall of Famers and Seymour and Ty Law and Bruschi and Johnson. And on offense, you had a great tight end in Jermaine Wiggins.
Oh, yeah.
And you had a quarterback that was managing the game. This Sunday, what do you have? What is one thing you have on Sunday over the Bills? What part of the game do you have a check mark?
You don't have anything.
Nothing.
Yeah. Like, nothing. Your receivers legitimately can't catch.
Right.
Yeah.
But they were the greatest show on turf. They had set an NFL record for points. They had just won a Super Bowl. Excuse me. They had just won a Super Bowl the year before. They had Hall of Famers all over the field. And granted, we had players too.
But coach checkmark, even though Martz was great, Belichick over Martz.
Right. But I don't know if at that point Belichick wasn't the Belichick head coach, right? He was still the defensive coordinator. So I would say, okay, you got this great offensive mind in Mike Martz who had, because 99, 2000, and 2001, their offense was a juggernaut, right? So you had this great offensive mind versus a great defensive mind. You had, like I said, the Rams had Hall of Famers all
over.
Right,
but you had McGinnis, you had Seymour, you had Bruschi, you had Law, you had Vrabel.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Because Buffalo's good.
And let the record show, when I was a senior in high school, when the Patriots won the Super Bowl, Kotzen, my boy Jeff, we all put $50 in money line. We won $400.
Ooh.
Jermaine Wiggins has turned into a weapon here the last couple weeks.
The Patriots had just beaten the Steelers the week before, who was a more talented team, obviously not the offense, but they won it with the blocked field goal. They blocked. I think Troy Brown had a punt return touchdown in that game.
Right. Yeah. And I guess it's really, do you think, Like, do you think, because Buffalo is a good football team.
Yeah.
Right?
A great football team.
Josh Allen is the best player.
Yeah.
Yes,
Josh Allen.
I would
is...
say then. I would say great. I don't know about great. Like, they're a good football team, but they have to win one in order to be put in the category of a great football team.
That's true.
So they're a good football
team. They're
an
incredibly talented football team.
With an incredibly talented offensive player in Josh Allen.
And the defense, you got Milano back. He was on the injury report, but he'll play. BC guy. You got Von Miller. You've got, I don't know. I mean,
and then you had you got a New England team that's not very good. So I guess it becomes where with the Rams in 01, they were a great football team with great players. And we were a good football team that was trending in the right direction. So I guess which one is like when you look at it is more impressive that you were able to knock down a great football team as a good football team or knock down a good football team or talented football team. And you could probably say good with this year's Buffalo Bills when you're not very good. Right. But I feel like we see upsets all the time now.
When did you fully accept that you were winning the Super Bowl? Was it not until the Vinatieri kick? Cause you were up 17-3. They got the two touchdowns to tie it. Late in that game at the Superdome, when did you know? Was it just when the field goal went through the uprights? Did you think you were going to win 17-3?
Well, we knew once we were in the huddle and we were as soon as we got in the huddle after the Rams just scored, they kicked off. We get the ball back and
with a minute left,
with a minute, whatever it was, left 20. And Brady comes in the huddle and we're like, we're going to win this effing game. And right then and there, okay, like that's when we knew. We're going to win this game.
Is that your best memory, non-family? Like that drive, getting the pass right before the kick?
Yeah. I mean, because it's like, I always look at it like my expectations weren't to like ever play in the NFL. So now to be in the NFL, to be playing for a team I watched growing up as a kid, and then to be in a Super Bowl. And being like, and then being a contributor is like all the things you're like, really?
And it's just so fast.
I did that.
They should make
a movie off of Wiggy's life.
God, like 1,000%.
We talk about these players all the time that get to play for their hometown team and then win a Super Bowl. It's
stranger than fiction.
Yeah, and maybe Mark Wahlberg could play.
Oh God, he's gonna stop 9/11 first. But Wiggs.
Yeah.
Is it true? Because in those movies, I don't know if this is a bad example, but what's the movie where Costner's throwing the perfect game and they like there's a woman at the airport? Oh my God. Anyway.
For the love of the game?
For the love of the game. Good pull, Jack. So like where it's like silent. When you're in that huddle and you're going down the field while Madden's up there saying take a knee. Is it quiet? Is it loud? Do you feel?
We don't hear Madden saying.
No, I know. Obviously, I'm saying that, like setting the scene here.
Yeah.
But when you're in that huddle, when you're on the field, as you're going down the field, knowing you need a field goal and you are the world champions.
Yeah.
Is it quiet? Is it tense? Is it loud? Do you hear everything? Do you remember those moments forever, or are they gone? How does that feel?
You remember those moments. To be in a Super Bowl is, unbelievable. And like I said, there's a lot more that goes into the Super Bowl for me because of the way it all plays out, right? Here we are coming off of, the 5-11 season before. Here we are, the snow game, beating Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, playing in the Super Bowl, being 14 or whatever that 17.5-point underdogs. And then... playing for that team, it's like I grew up. I used to love Ben Coates, loved him.
Ben Winter Coates.
I used to love watching Ben Coates play. I used to even like emulate him when I was in college. I used to like cut the fingers off my gloves when the weather wasn't great. Yeah. So I loved watching Ben.
He was awesome.
And I loved Drew. And I remember when they drafted Drew. And it's like these are all the things you remember, right? I remember 96 being in Georgia, my wife and I living in family housing, like basically like the projects, and watching that Super Bowl in 96.
Why are you kicking it to Desmond Howard?
Right. I think it was Terry Glenn who just scored.
Yeah.
And, He goes 100 yards. And so, like,
made it 21-13.
So these are all the things I remember. And now, fast forward, I am now playing in that game. It's like I said, it wasn't like something you dreamt about. Like, I didn't have those type of dreams. And then the reality of when that kick went through
the— so down the middle.
Oh, when it went through the uprights, and it was just like—
pandemonium.
Wow, this is pretty cool.
What was your first thought?
I'm going to Disney World.
No.
Bill's going to cut me.
I guess it's hard to say like your first thought because, you know, usually people are like, oh, I dreamt about this as a kid, or right. I put this on my vision board. It was like, I did none of that. So it was like, wow, I'm actually part of a Super Bowl winning team, getting the Lombardi Trophy. And so I think it's one of those things that, yeah. I don't know, you have to, it's hard
my,
to
my favorite memory of that, and I, you know, it was the first time I ever saw one of my teams win, not quite as being good as being on the field, but right after Wiggy gets the catch, he hurries back to the line of scrimmage because you guys were out of timeouts.
Yep.
And Brady gets everybody set at the 30, spikes the ball. And when he spiked the ball, he puts his hand out and the ball lands in his hand, laces out like he was on the backyard of his house with nobody there when he had just orchestrated a career-defining drive that gave the Patriots a Super Bowl.
Crazy.
I was looking at it like, wow, I did something Dan Marino wasn't able to do.
Right.
You know, when you start to think about like—
Marino.
When you start to think about all the great players that have played in the NFL and—
Mitch.
Yeah.
God, Mitch, I love
him. He's so good.
Show that again. That is so good. I could watch that.
The Brady spin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And like when you start to think about all the great players who played in the NFL and maybe who never won a Super Bowl and you start to think like, wow, I actually did that. It's like—
here, Wiggy, you get down, boom, Brady to the line, and then watch that laces up like that. Anyway, let's go to your calls. I'm sorry to the people that are bored by this. I could do this for the rest of my life.
Oh, my God. I could listen to Wiggy talk about it for hours.
Marshall, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Hey, great show. Who needs the other guy?
Yeah, it's Shime.
I compare, you know, the Rams win in the Super Bowl. I think that was just overconfidence by the Rams. They didn't take the Pats serious, and they kind of, just like the Pats didn't take the Eagles serious, and that we know what came out of that.
Yeah.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think the Bills take the Patriots serious this week. And how long will Josh Allen really be in the game? If they go up, God.
28 points?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll probably come out. But I don't think the Bills are going to— I don't think the Bills are going to look past the Patriots because I think they realize what's at stake for them. So I don't think they're going to really look past the Patriots. I think the Patriots are going to have to, if they're able to win this game, they're going to have to play at a level on both sides of the football that we haven't seen all year long.
All right, we want somebody to congratulate Wiggy, and I think he needs to be congratulated. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's up? Good morning, everyone. I'm kind of like you, Curtis. I remember like exactly where I was for every, you know, Red Sox or Patriots big play. And I did want to just say, Wiggy, thanks a lot for what you did in the Snow Bowl. It was probably one of the best nights of my life. Like, not just the game, like the whole, just the snow was perfect. I remember driving over to my brother's and we had a party and it was just so serene. And you came up so big and like, you just like, you looked like you weren't going to be stopped, and I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you. And that's like that to me, that's so cool that I'm in like, you know, like that I get to like look at myself, not like on the same level, but, you know, you get to look at yourself and like, oh, I was able to do something that Gronk did. I was able to do something that Edelman did and like some of these other players and, you know, be part of a Super Bowl winning team and, you know, being part of it where I had a role in, you know, doing my part, which, you know, helped out the team. So, like, that's the cool part is to be part of those conversations, you know. And it's like, it's really hard to explain. You know, somebody who grew up a sports fan, like, you know, you think about the Celtics and you think about all those great championship teams and, you know, some of those guys that played on the team. And then you become part of that in your sport. It's like, wow. I guess, like KG said, anything is possible.
You're getting all hot and bothered. You took a sweatshirt
yeah,
off.
Yeah, I was getting all hot and bothered. I'm ready. Yeah. Hey, I'm ready to get back out on the field.
Oh, me too. Oh, my God.
But that... I hurt my knee working out yesterday and I was doing my soccer mom workout. And I felt good afterwards and then sitting on the couch.
Well,
just old age.
At least you weren't a bitch like somebody who went to the ER after. We'll have Mike Milbury join us in about 15 minutes. Don't miss it. Greg Hill off today. He'll be back in the new year. Today is my last day of the year. I'm alongside Courtney and Wiggs. I will never tire this, so if you get tired of it, I'm sorry. But what that 2001 champion Patriots team represented was the renaissance of an era where people's entire mindsets shifted. I was reared in the 90s. The biggest games at the old Fleet Center was the Commonwealth Classic, where it was John Calipari against Boston College. Our team sucked. We always lost big games. Roger went to New York. Parcells went to the Jets. We sucked. And in 2001, right after 9/11, Pat Summerall at the Superdome, this is right after you had the Ray Lewis gyration dance running onto the field, the Super Bowl introductions, because the games, I hate to break it to you, usually sucked. In the 90s, they were all blowouts. The coolest part was the pomp and circumstance surrounding the game. And the greatest show on turf gets introduced. And then they say, and the American Football Conference champions, the New England Patriots. And then right as you're about to hear the introductions, Summerall says, choosing to be introduced as a team. And it was like, serendipitous. You're sitting there as a country. We are a team. We are red, white, and blue. And there was no way to be too folksy at that time because we were so wounded as a people. And for that team to win and what that started, I don't care what people say. Without that Super Bowl team, there is not the pressure on the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins to keep up with each other. And then once the Red Sox started winning, the Patriots winning, the investment made and the change in the demand of the Boston sports fan was a direct result of what that team accomplished.
But you also can't stress it enough, because I wasn't here for you and Kostos showdown last Friday, but I believe he called you a spoiled fan, something along those lines.
Right.
The reason that Boston sports fans for so long were considered, the worst is because the millennials, the people that are my age, that is the time in which we could actually pay attention to sports and remember it.
And brag about it.
Like, I don't remember the 90s and games in the 90s, but I remember that 2001 season and everything that followed suit. And that's why we are the way that we are. And that's why we expect greatness. That's why New England fans are who we are. So that you can't stress the importance of that season, because it was a snowball effect. Because
you like to brag about it. You like to be. I used to love to go into different places and letting people know, like, I'm from Boston, like City of Champions, bragging about it, throwing in their face, your team stinks, you guys are awful, and it's like, it's cool, and most of you, like you said, the millennials and the people that are, kind of grew in that era, that's all they've known is success,
right.
And that's, you kind of live, it's a good way to live.
Yeah, it is a change entirely in how we all viewed what the teams were going to do, how they were going to perform. And it was just when the Rams tied that at 17, I was like, it's over. Nice run. That's, we all sat in my friend's living room in Norwood and we're looking at each other like, holy crap.
And we knew we can't give them another chance.
No.
So that's why I think when you said, we were like, we got to end it here.
Yeah. Well, thank God you did. Ricky and Carver, good morning.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to call like the last caller and give the props to Wiggy. I remember growing up, my father being like, he's a Boston guy, Ricky. He's different. It's not just he plays for the Patriots. He's a Boston guy. So it meant more than you had that snow game. My father being like, if they win the Super Bowl or not, this will be remembered as one of the greatest performances in Boston history. And my dad pushed that. Then the Super Bowl came, and Wiggy had that catch before the field goal, and everything went down. And my dad just beating it in our heads, being like, it means more because he's a Boston guy. And being from Boston, being from Plymouth or Massachusetts, not even just that, New England itself, you love Boston guys who play for Boston sports. And it just meant so much and cannot express enough how awesome that was for my household my father and me just growing up as a young sports fan. I was 14 when you guys won in 01. And my dad, the chills he had being like, Ricky, they always break your heart. No, they didn't. And so thank you, and it was awesome. So appreciate you guys having a holiday.
Appreciate it. And that's part of the biggest thing, and I feel like I tell all the younger players now that are playing in the league, like, you know, I tend to, you know, you kind of you stretch the truth out a little bit, but I'm like, the whole, you know, when you watch Monday Night Football, everybody's like, you know, where they're from, and they say, I'm from here and I'm from there. I kind of like to think I was the originator of that, because Chris Berman, one of the biggest things he always would say about me, Jermaine Wiggins from East Boston, because I always like promoted that when I did that. I didn't like say,
as you should.
I didn't like say UGA. I was like from East Boston. And so that was, and anybody who knew me played out, I got a tattooed on my arms. So they all knew that. But that was like a huge part. That's why I said, when you asked me what was my feelings like, I couldn't really put them into words and connect the two, because I grew up as a fan, and then to be part of it, watching the team and just being like, oh my God, wait a second, did I just help the team I won? And Courtney and I were talking about this, but the one thing that I really, you know, I love the Super Bowl, don't get me wrong, but the one thing that I kind of love more than anything about my time in the NFL is that I made a lasting impression amongst my peers. So when I meet guys that I played with, you know, in that era, like some of the stars, whether it's Rodney Harrison or Troy Polamalu or just whoever, and I'm like, you know, hey, I'm, you know, Jermaine Wiggins, and they're like, yeah, I know who you are. Like, and so like to Peyton Manning and those guys and Brady, to be able to be like, you left a lasting impression on those guys, where they, I was just talking with Edgerrin James, and like, you know, he remembered me, and that to me is the coolest thing, when you're able to do something and then people remember you because of, you know, whether it's your personality, what you did. And, you know, I kind of like to think it was a little bit of everything. I was a little bit of a crap talker, but I kind of backed it up.
How cool for your kids, too. Like, imagine your dad.
They don't get it.
I think that that's probably what they portray to you. But I bet internally they think it's very cool that their dad and is recognizable to all of these other unbelievable NFL players.
It's like normal to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When I used to take them to games and they'd meet Brady, and Brady'd come over and talk and, you know, sign autographs every game and just, you know, shoot the ish. It's like normal to them. So it you know, I guess as they get older, they kind of start to see it a little bit. But that's my biggest thing is, and I bet that's every athlete too, is the lasting impression when guys kind of you make and they're like, oh yeah, you know, it's, I kind of like, that's the one thing I feel proud of, is that, you know, people remember me that I played with, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was a team that really set the foundation for what was done here. I could relive it all day. Wiggy, thank you for sharing those incredible moments.
I could share them all day long.
I love it. I'll be here.
I will be here all day. The rest of the show, we're going to have dedicated day to Wiggy where we'll just talk. I'll be on every show talking.
Now let's get into the throwback to Brady in the final home regular season game at Gillette Stadium.
Oh, you know what I use with Brady? This, but don't tell Brady. I know he listens, but don't tell him.
I won't.
People always say, Tom. And my thing is now, it's my little kind of claim to fame. I said, listen, if it wasn't for the snow game, you might have never heard of Tom Brady.
Breach.
If it weren't for me,
nope,
you might not know who Tom is. But don't tell him I said that. But I have to use that, you know what I mean? It's kind of a little bit of a
claim to fame.
Yeah, you know.
Well, Wiggs, I would use it all. Why not?
Yeah,
if you don't use it, nobody else will. speaking of using it, we have our good friend Mike Milbury joining us next.